Superficially, Herod brought glory to Jerusalem. Perhaps never as a building was the temple more glorious than in his reign. Yet Herod's moral turpitude, his rage, his quest for power, were all at the core of who he was, and that for the rabbis defined Herod's legacy. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 70, Herod, Pigs, and Sons. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is a tale recounted by the Jewish philosopher Philo of Alexandria, who, standing before a Roman ruler, was asked about the difference between Jewish and Roman practices. For this Roman, it was one Jewish observance that stood out above all, and so he asked this question to the amusement of those assembled around him. Quote, he then asked a very important and solemn question. Why is it that you abstain from eating pig's flesh? And then again at this question, such a violent laughter was raised by our adversaries, partly because they were really delighted, and partly as they wished to court the emperor out of flattery, and therefore wished to make it appear that this question was dictated by wit and uttered with grace, that some of the servants who were following him were indignant at their appearing to treat the emperor with so little respect, since it was not safe for his most intimate friends to do so much as smile at his words. And when we made answer that different nations have different laws, and there are some things of which the use of forbidden both to us and to our adversaries, and when someone said, there are also many people who do not eat lamb's flesh, which is the most tender of all meat, he laughed and said, they are quite right, for it is not nice. End quote. Romans could not understand why Jews would abstain from what they considered the most delicious of meats, or as the great Josephus scholar Louis Feldman wrote, quote, the Romans in particular were fond of pork, as we see from the fact that Latin has more terms to refer to swine than to any other animal. Indeed, the abstinence from their national dish must have struck the Roman nationalists much as a deliberate abstention from roast beef would have affected an English citizen in our day who believes that patriotism and roast beef are somehow connected, end quote. These points about eating pig are raised in a very interesting article about Jews, Rome, and pork by Jordan Rosenblum. As Rosenblum notes, this culinary divide between Judea and Rome is also noted by Jews who utilize the pig to symbolize Rome in Midrashic literature. And that, I think, allows us to understand why one wry comment made by the Roman Emperor Augustus about his friend King Herod is so particularly apt, haunting, and in the end, instructive to us all. One would have expected Herod, at the peak of his power, to be content, from his perspective, with all that he had achieved. He was a trusted confidant of Augustus, he had made Jerusalem's temple magnificent on behalf of his Jewish subjects, and he had created cities such as Caesarea in order to connect Judea with the rest of the empire. And yet the paranoid king at this very moment turned on his sons. Herod had many wives, but it was presumed that his dynasty's future was to be found with the two sons of his late Hasmonean wife, Alexander and Aristobulus. But as Simon Sebag Montefiore reports, these sons' snobbishness, given their lineage, was their own undoing, as it led to their being targeted by Herod's sister Salome. Montefiore writes, quote, they boasted that when they were kings, they would put Herod's wives to labor with the slaves and use Herod's other sons as clerks. Salome reported all this to Herod, who was infuriated by the ingratitude and alarmed by the betrayal of these spoiled princelings. He had long ignored Antipater, his eldest son, by his first wife, Doris. But now, in 13 BC, Herod recalled Antipater and asked Agrippa to take him to Rome with a sealed document for the emperor. It was his will, disinheriting the two boys and instead bequeathing the kingdom to Antipater. But his new heir, probably in his mid-20s, was embittered by paternal neglect and fraternal envy. He and his mother conspired to destroy the disinherited princes, whom they accused of treason. Herod asked Augustus, staying at Aquileia on the Adriatic, to judge the three princes. Augustus reconciled father and sons, with the result that Herod sailed home, called a meeting in the court of the temple, and announced that his three sons would share the kingdom. End quote. So Herod announced, but the reconciliation did not last long. The king grew suspicious of Alexander and asked Augustus that the sons that were the descendants of Mariam the Hasmonean be tried. And the emperor agreed for the judgment to take place outside of Judea in the city that became Beirut. There they were found guilty of sedition and brought back to Caesarea where, as Josephus put it, quote, everybody was there talking of Herod's sons and the kingdom was in suspense and the people in great expectation of what would become of them. For a terrible fear seized upon all men lest the ancient disorders of the family should come to a sad conclusion, and they were in great trouble about their sufferings. Nor was it without danger to say any rash thing about this matter, nor even to hear another saying it. But men's pity was forced to be shut up in themselves, which rendered the excess of their sorrow very irksome, but very silent." End quote. At this point, one soldier who had served Herod, Tiro, spoke up and pleaded with the king, saying, according to Josephus, quote, "Wilt thou slay these two young men born of thy queen, who are accomplished with every virtue in the highest degree, and leave thyself destitute in thy old age, but exposed to one son who hath very ill managed the hopes thou hast given him, and to relations whose death thou hast so often resolved on thyself? Dost not thou take notice that the very silence of the multitude at once sees the crime and abhors the fact? The whole army and the officers have commiseration on the poor unhappy youths, and hatred to those that are the actors in this matter." End quote. The soldier who spoke out, Tiro, was well-meaning, but the imprudent mention of other soldiers who sympathized with Herod's sons only increased the mad monarch's suspicions, and in a scene that reminds one of the court of Henry VIII, or perhaps of the reign of Stalin, Herod's barber then came forward and insisted that the soldier Tiro had urged him, the barber, to kill Herod during a haircut. Then, under torture, the soldier Tiro's son named his father in a conspiracy, and thus were the sons of Herod born to a Hasmonean princess, brought to an untimely end, along with many other soldiers. Josephus again, quote, "As for Herod, if he had before any doubt about the slaughter of his sons, there was now no longer any room left in his soul for it, but he had banished away whatsoever might afford him the least suggestion of reasoning better about this matter. So he already made haste to bring his purpose to a conclusion. He also brought out 300 of the officers that were under an accusation, as also Tiro and his son, and the barber that accused them before an assembly, and brought an accusation against them all, whom the multitude stoned with whatsoever came to hand, and thereby slew them. Alexander also and Aristobulus were brought to Sebastia by their father's command, and there strangled. But their dead bodies were in the nighttime carried to Alexandrum, where their uncle, by the mother's side, and the greatest part of their ancestors had been deposited." End quote. The fate of Herod's two sons from the Hasmonean princess inspired the haunting comment by the Roman Emperor Augustus about his friend Herod, a comment that inspired today's talk. The comment is cited by many, including Montefiore, who writes, quote, "The tragedy of their mother Mariam, the curse of the Maccabees, had come full circle." Augustus was not amused. Knowing that Jews eschewed pork, he commented dryly, "I'd rather be Herod's pig than his son." End quote. So he said, "I'd rather be Herod's pig than his son." As scholars have pointed out, Augustus was punning in Greek on the similarity between the word for pig and for son. But there is also a larger striking point to be made here, which is that Augustus was accusing Herod's court of caring more about kosher than murder, of feigning religiosity while still allowing the murder of members of Herod's family to go forward. This is striking because for rabbinic homiletics, the pig was itself the symbol of hypocrisy, one which they used as a metaphor in criticism of Rome itself. Here, a word about kosher laws is essential. According to Leviticus, an animal is kosher if it has split hooves and if it chews its cud. The Bible mentions only one animal that has the more prominent kosher attribute of split hooves, but which lacks the less prominent cud chewing. That is the pig. Building on this, the Midrash, as Rosenberg notes, utilizes the pig as a symbol of Edom, the traditional Midrashic term for Rome. Quote, "Moses said, and as for the pig, although it has split hooves, with the hooves cleft through, it does not chew the cud, it is impure for you. Why is he, i.e. Edom, compared to a pig?" I'm citing Rosenberg's version. "Just as the pig, when it lays down, puts forth its hooves as if to say, I am clean, so too does this evil empire commit robbery and violence, while giving itself the appearance as if holding court." End quote. As Rosenberg further adds, quote, "At least one Midrashic tradition goes so far as to equate the physiology of the pig with the corporate body of Rome. Though both appear kosher, beneath their skin is hidden a deception," end quote. The point is that the rabbis were well aware of the Roman Empire's achievements and understood that so many admired what it had accomplished. But for the rabbis, that veneer of civilizational glory covered up the immorality of Roman society, a society that ultimately turned on the one small people who did not only not eat pig, but who also stubbornly continued to proclaim the vision of biblical monotheism in an empire which was pagan, in which was perturbed that the Jews did not go along to get along. In a similar sense, one more modern admirer of Rome, Edward Gibbon, described what he saw as the harmony of the empire at its height, while making clear that he was quite annoyed by one tiny people who didn't embrace the ways of Rome. Gibbon writes, quote, "We have already described the religious harmony of the ancient world and the facility with which the most different and even hostile nations embraced or at least respected each other's superstitions. A single people refused to join in the common intercourse of mankind. End quote. Gibbon further writes of the Jews, quote, the sullen obstinacy with which they maintained their peculiar rites and unsocial manners seemed to mark them out a distinct species of men, adding that neither the violence of Antiochus nor the arts of Herod nor the example of the circumjacent nations could ever persuade the Jews to associate with the institutions of Moses the elegant mythology of the Greeks. End quote. These criticisms of the Jews by Gibbon are cited by Professor Stephen Smith, who also notes that Gibbon is not looking carefully enough beneath the surface as he praises Rome. As Smith writes, Gibbon could only laud Roman civilization as a perfectly happy arrangement as long as he intentionally ignored, quote, the vast slave populations, the ubiquitous brothels staffed by desperate and downtrodden women, the lethal savagery of the gladiatorial games, the widespread practice of infanticide, and the dismal tenement housing afflicted by fire and filth and disease, end quote. The empire, in other words, was kosher only superficially, only if one did not look beneath the surface. Smith is echoing the critique of Rome leveled by the rabbis, and for the rabbis, this criticism could be leveled at Herod as well. Superficially, Herod brought glory to Jerusalem. Perhaps never as a building was the temple more glorious than in his reign. Yet Herod's moral turpitude, his rage, his quest for power, were all at the core of who he was, and that for the rabbis defined Herod's legacy. For Herod, Rome was an empire whose support would bring glory to him and, he believed, to his capital. But for the Jews of Jerusalem, all was not kosher with the empire, and these Jews ardently believed that there would come a day when Rome's power would disappear, but the faith of Abraham would remain. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.